بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك المجابة ورحمتك وأعذائنا مغفرتك والسلامة من كل إثم والغنمة من كل بير وفعوذ بالجنة من النار. O Allah, we ask you for words which will make certain your mercy, actions which will make certain your forgiveness, freedom from every offense, a supply of every virtue, entering Jannah, and a safety from the Naar. My dear brothers and sisters, we all recognize in our own way the perfection of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his character, his example, but for many of us, as we grew up, those of us especially who perhaps grew up in the United States not born as Muslims and not having and being infused with the culture from the mother's milk, as we say, and had to try to identify certain terminology, just as the sister has been trying to identify certain terminology for us today, many of us recognize that it's very difficult to really live this example. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran to follow the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, truly in the messenger of Allah you have an excellent example for one who hopes for Allah and for the final day and who remembers Allah abundantly. Yet we rely on hope, on the hope that formal practice will be sufficient to uplift our character instead of focusing on self-created barriers to our progress. And today I will try to speak very practically about some obstacles to progress on this path and how we can make better progress toward living a life that exemplifies the example of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I call living in resonance with the system of Islam or the reality of Islam, of mizan, of balance that characterizes Allah's subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, and hence living in harmony as a result, automatically living in harmony with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in particular, I want to speak to you about some diseases we pick up along the way and the remedies to these ills. Note all the concern over physical ills like swine flu, but not enough concern over the spiritual ills. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the madad of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I will speak both as a person who has spent the last almost 40 years being trained and authorized to treat both the physical, mental, and emotional ills of individuals, as well as the spiritual diseases, both in others and predominantly, I must assure you, in my own self. I approach both the outer physical and the inner spiritual from an Islamic Sufic values-based point of view and uniquely effective, I hope, practical point of observation and treatment, or what we might call correctives, which in most instances allow the body, mind, and heart to progressively return to a state of well-being and its essential goodness, fitra. But I must point out that it takes the most sincere and constant efforts to reach this progressive healing, the maqamat that opens our insight and view of the divine presence of the Nuri Muhammad, and that becomes our default. And although what I will discuss will sound psychological in some instances, I want you to remember that what I am saying and advocating is purely spiritually based, for it is the spiritual that encompasses all other forms and expressions. And I will tell you, in the tradition of Nilhayat fil Bidayat, our end is in the beginning, the prescription first. Effort, sincere effort, plus dua, plus regular practices as enjoined to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those practices given to us by our shaykh, this is the prescription. The result will be humility, love of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, taqwa, and the love of all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creatures, and awareness of our place in this dynamic system of existence, which we call reality, or appears to be reality. There are two main possibilities, I think, to account for the lack of progress on the path or in life. And these two main possibilities even underlie the disinclination to make the effort to make progress. The first is the fear of change. This implies anxiety over situations which are by their nature dynamic and demand an inner and as well as an outer flexibility and confidence. And the second is a history of negative and self-destructive circumstances that have fashioned a person's character, which can also indicate a lack of self-esteem and self-confidence, indeed a lack of ability to be secure in one's own self. The symptoms of this state are many. To name a few, the reluctance to make decisions or to have decisions questioned, the feeling that one is being judged by others and that one is always being questioned, the fear of failure or the inability to deal constructively with apparent failure, that is, the inability to see apparent failure as a learning experience or as an incentive to reach higher and to try harder. Other symptoms include the sense that others are better than one or are more efficient or are more sensitive to an issue or even more personable. And if a person has these along with the underlying attitude of uselessness and fear and apathy toward making effort to change or to be inspired by others, these are certainly some of the symptoms of these two possibilities I mentioned. And I mentioned that account for as an indication of what allows us to make progress spiritually. Before you identify yourself with any or all of these symptoms, make sure you understand that previous sentence. Life is a continuous and dynamic process, and as such is a challenge by definition. And for a human being to be as free and as divinely motivated as possible, one must know how to meet that challenge. The life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is full of wisdom, full of guidance on how to meet the challenges of life. But often we create unreasonable expectations as the basis for progress toward his example, which allow us to avoid effort, give us an excuse not to change, give us an excuse not to meet the challenges. And as a result, conditions develop internally, spiritually, which then manifest outwardly and signal to one's own self and others the fear, the unwillingness to change, the anxiety over change itself, which is a denial of the systems that we are a part of and that are a part of us. Individuals choose many avenues of avoidance, retreat into near total inactivity or retreat into a rigid schedule, to ideological and aggressive attitudes, or conversely in frenetic activity in the name of truth, in the name of religion, in the name of Islam. Others retreat to compulsive behavior or venture out less and less frequently into any new areas creatively, intellectually, socially, emotionally, and certainly spiritually, as our imam was referring to in his question and his statement. Taking fewer and fewer new responsibilities, one loses one's taste for life, becomes entrenched in narrowness and in a detachment from the trust, the amana, and thus from the nearness to one's creator and the purpose for existence, despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as near to you as your own life may. In this state, the mysteries of life, the beauty, the majesty of life goes unseen and unfelt, and one begins to question their purpose, their lifestyle, their relationships, their goals, their destination. Along the way, each seeker is given hints and warnings of this state when it's approaching, often from those who have gone through the process of awakening, a process of one might call healing, if you want to call it that. More often, the warnings come as one is lulled into a sleep-like state of indolence and self-absorption. And the question is, who will wake up such a person, and what will awaken him or her? What will instill a love for growth, a love for knowledge, for personal success and achievement, as opposed to the conditions I've just described? And I don't mean material success and achievement, though it may be symbolic of other inner growth and success. What is needed, it seems, in every instance is to touch the heart, as Sheikh Nuruddin was saying. And you may be aware that in the last few years, there was a discovery that there are 50,000 or so brain cells in the heart of every human being. So indeed, we do think with our hearts sometimes. To touch the heart and the source of an individual's internal energy and to awaken the desire for participation in this world and the activities of life, which will be fulfilling and supportive of what? Of our essential goodness, of our role as Muslims, as our seekers of truth. Only when one does this can one have dignity, and that is necessary to make the journey or fulfill life's purpose. The word waqar also means, for dignity is usually used, means burden, carrying a heavy load also. It also means to revere and to have reverence. To have dignity, one has to have reverence and exude that reverence for the Creator, and to have the ability to carry a heavy load. Well, who is the example of that? Why are we here today? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we look at his seerah, if we listen to the hadith, from this point of view, we get many, many guidelines on how to make progress in life for the purpose that it seems that life was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the dignity of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even at the most difficult times, in the Battle of Uhud, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was struck in the face and the teeth were broken, he said, "Oh Allah, forgive my companions for abandoning me. They are ignorant. I remain with them because I am your servant and slave in order to illumine their hearts." If we aspire to be counted among the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then surely we have to contemplate humbly and sincerely where we stand in the long shadow of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do we act toward our families? How do we act toward our neighbors, let alone our enemies? How do we respond when we see others in pain, misery, grief, loss, disbelief? What emerges naturally from us and what is constructed or limited to certain times and certain places under our control? The negative circumstances and the symptoms that I've described to you block our ability to respond to ignorance with kindness, block our ability to let our hearts be illuminated by His light. And certainly, psychologists and therapists, as we've heard, have labeled and categorized symptoms and traced their onset to numerous issues. Broken homes and deeply competitive society, from the breakdown of extended family, from the loss of values, biogenetic anomalies, we recognize that some of these explanations may have some truth in them, certainly, but the Sufi doctor, the Sheikh, is looking at these conditions as a specialist, a heart specialist. The Sheikh has, at his beck and call, remedies that are rooted in the deepest memories of the soul, the ruh. Recitations, prayers, invocations, proven prescriptions, naya, accompaniment, patience, love, sohbah, and of course the barakah. These come from the pharmacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the responsibility of the Shaykh as a hakim to provide the prescription, to perhaps administer the first doses, and to wait for a progress report. Not to force the medicine on the unwilling patient, not to chase them down to administer each dose thereafter, not to constantly call them to find out what is your state. He makes house calls through transmissions to the lataif, the subtle organs of perception. This creates subtle changes in character in the body and in the heart and in the soul. A few words about the lataif perhaps is called for, because some of you may not be familiar with our approaches as a Naqshbandi Mujaddidi approach to the lataif, though I'm also in the Shazali Shisti and Qadriya line. The lataif were initially luminous when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected them to the body. Their light began to be filtered through the influences of the physical world. That is, the human being's tendency to identify with materiality to become stronger and becomes stronger as the light begins to dim. Surely we created the human being in the best of stature, and then we reduced him to the lowest of the low, except those who believe and do good works. for they shall have a reward on failing. As you see, inner and outer states and actions are required, belief and good works. Through practices that involve concentrating on the Lataif, one who sincerely aspires to awaken to that divine presence, through the example of and the Nuri Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find the potential within ourselves to build a resistance to the diseases of this world and yet fulfill one's duties while in it. And from our point of view, over time, the distance from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam caused deterioration, and seekers have lost a large degree of dedication, passion, courage, as well as yearning for the madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ. And to correct this, a way was established to build immunities to this world and recover that state of nearness in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This way begins with purifying the heart, not just resisting the ego. In this way, one gets a taste of the vision through the heart before undertaking the complete journey. This is a natural healing, a remedy. It uses the light of the lataif and the natural qualities of love, compassion, to regulate the perceptions and inner functions without austerities, without great hardships. It brings a quick healing, awakening to one who sticks with the prescription. It gives hope, it gives light by which to travel. Our companion, we discover, along this journey, is none other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companion, and the shuyukh. But we also have to do our individual part. Even the allopathic doctors, I'm trained homeopath, so I use the term allopath. Even our allopathic doctors now recognize that the attitude of the patient is part of, if not least, half the cure. Without the inner motivation, or the opportunity for that motivation, there can be no cure, no good health, no lasting happiness, and no purpose. How important then is attitude? We need only to look at the example of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You remember, of course, once in a group of Jews in Medina, a group of Jews in Medina greeted Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Assalamu alaikum," which means death upon you. Aisha radiallahu anha, poison upon you. Aisha radiallahu anha grew angry and retorted, "May the poison be upon you," and curses. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam disproved of what Aisha radiallahu anha said, commenting, "In Allah, your ibu rifka fil amri kulli." Truly Allah loves kindness in everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves kindness in everything from everyone. In every circumstance, even if there is no kindness in return, still there should be kindness. We may say to ourselves that attaining that frame of mind and heart is unattainable. But most important is our aspiration. To aspire is natural. But to have positive results, contentment, fulfillment, sense of progress, it's necessary also to extricate oneself from the grips of disillusionment, fear, self-doubt. To identify these symptoms, we must genuinely ask ourselves whether or not I want to change. Every one of us says we do, but it's normal to question whether our aspiration and our intention, our niyyah, can be transformed into something of a higher nature, something that is lasting, a station that we can attain to, not just a momentary series of experiences through life. Regular appointments with the spiritual doctor can assure us of progress toward full health as well-being, but there is more to understand. The doctor prescribes or gives methods to practice which assists our body and our heart and our soul to regulate themselves, just like the immune system wants to regulate itself for our physical well-being. One of our teachers said, "No one may be transformed into something greater or higher than the ordinary man by any act or will from the teacher." Yet somehow this expectation is fostered by some teachers and students, and certainly hoped for by indolent murids and muridas. It is not the role of the teacher to be a miracle worker, although to the receptive heart, many apparent miracles do transpire between the teacher and the student. The guide certainly can help to modify our reactions to circumstances, can give us new perspectives, better tools, inspiration, good guidance, continuous blessings of his knowledge and power developed through the efforts and meditations of that individual, their prayers, and the blessings of their shayukh, and the blessings of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu salam. But for the radical change that is necessary for transformation from sleep to wakefulness, from illness to health, from fear to courage, from doubt to belief, from otherness and blame to selflessness and responsibility, it requires totally sincere, practical, constant effort and an active participatory life in the good works of society and the order and of the enterprises of the shaykhs and in the will of and the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I have to add that it's even though many of us enjoy a lot of public service, as I do, and the opportunity to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by serving His creatures, we have to give more than equal attention to our inner development, more than equal attention to our prayer, meditation. It requires that attitude of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and an openness for the fayat, the divine energy, to flow over our hearts as it did with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, to achieve this, it requires a unique individual with a burning desire to achieve a deep level of spiritual awakening. And by looking at Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see the best example of an awakened individual, of someone living the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a deep awareness of his nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're all familiar with the hadith. Of course, my servant continues to draw near to me with supererogatory words so that I shall love him. And when I love him, I am the ears with which he hears and the eyes with which he sees, the hands with which he strikes and the feet with which he walks. We see this most clearly in Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet was a conduit for the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, as they are expressed throughout Allah's creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us constantly with dynamic ayahs, signs. They're alive, they're dynamic and they're constructive. And from this light and life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn to live in the realm of possibilities, not just in linear probabilities. Anything is possible with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anything is possible. I'm not saying that from an ideological point of view. I'm not saying that because I read it. I said it because I struggled to understand it for 40 years. And I struggled to understand it for 40 years, not by just wanting to understand it, not by just wanting to read books, not by just serving humanity in my organizations and my work, but because I strive to sit and sit and sit in Muraqabah and to do my prayers and to make my and to make a muhasabah as much as I can remember to make muhasabah. And whatever little I have realized, I now understand that as I am realizing the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Sufi, as with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, all circumstances are essential for developing the qualities necessary to attain to higher goals. After all, what is the divine intention behind creation, life, as far as we can understand? There was a question again raised during the previous presentation, or implied. Is it not to develop the highest potential in human beings to realize their divine origin? Is it not the reality of understanding the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yet, since the names are endless, one needs to focus on the lataif as a means of developing the natural vision or perception from within one's own self, the lens through which we see. This prescription is progressive and builds inner and outer health and well-being, just as the revelations to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were progressive and timely and built his inner and outer strength and well-being. to take the daily outer activities and attribute spiritual significance to them, of course, is desirable. It is desirable to weave the outer and the inner aspects of life together. Certainly, the interactions with others in the workplace, the home, social realms are always opportunities for affirming the divine names and the divine attributes, what I refer to as universal spiritual values: compassion, tolerance, perseverance, patience. You know them all. You can recite them. They're always an opportunity for refining one's own self, seeing one's weaknesses, developing compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, patience. But as one advances on the spiritual journey, the truth is revealed about our real state and place. We know it in the phrase, Man arafa nafsu faqad arafa rabbah. Whosoever knows his self knows Allah. The result is automatic. If I can stress anything, I want to stress that if we do with absolute sincerity and constant effort, are what has been given to us to do. There may be derivatives of that, but we all know what we have to do by Allah's will and admonition and prescription. And then what is added to it by Ashayyub, I present to you the possibility to consider that what happens is automatic. The default changes. The more one develops a detachment from physical illness and previous mental fears, the more one is free. The more one detaches themselves from a sense of their reluctance or their doubt that they can make progress on this path, the more one is free. Our Prophet ﷺ had questions when he came down from the mountain. He had anxiety in him. And his noble wife, Khadija, settled that and encouraged him. We all need that encouragement. In conclusion, let me speak to the importance of sincere effort then in awakening our hearts and reframing our thoughts. If you can awaken your heart, you will find that in your heart you're standing in the presence of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the changer of hearts. You're standing in your heart in the presence of the deputies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're standing in the presence of the shuyukh. You will be strengthened and you will be liberated by concentrated focus and meditation on heart, and then on the other lataif, under the proper direction, one becomes attuned to the subtleties of the light and its diverse manifestations in the outer realms and the inner realms. And progress is made quickly. There's no replacement for reframing one's mind through the verification of the heart's submission. There's no replacement for reframing one's heart through the turning of attention. We say in Urdu, "Mind mutawajjih hai hum kal kitra, kal mutawajjih hai zat pa kitra." Reframing in this context means not only putting things that happen in a positive form and approaching them in a positive way, but also requiring that they are consistent with the harmony of the inner and the outer worlds. There is no place better to do this than in meditation, association, and accompaniment with the love, with the shaykh, in suhbah, and of course in our prescribed prayers and our study and reading and recitation of Quran. There's no better effort than respect and trust, service and practice, and more practice. I'll leave it for another talk or some private conversation what that really entails. Suffice it to say that the key is love, and our subject today really is about being open to develop that love, reflect the light and the love, and receive it in return from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no better resonance in the heart of the beloved than in the heart of the beloved to be entered into in prayer and meditation. So we are admonished to attend to ourselves. Be attentive to the guides. In the mid-14th century AD, Khwaja al-Din Attar was asked the question, can one give up things by one's own will? Khwaja said, it is desirable that there should be a guide with the spirit of Muhammad in him, so that the heart can lose its own existence and the existence of the guide. The great teachers have said that success comes only to those who make sincere effort. My beloved guide and teacher for over 34 years, Hazrat Azad Rasul. Spoke constantly about sincere effort and progress. The help that a teacher can give is dependent upon the readiness of the student to obey the instructions that he or she is given. Without zealous work, the deeper meanings will never be found. The accomplished man or woman that is guiding can only influence a pupil for a few days at a time. There's a saying, perseverance cannot be given. Again, Khawaja Alauddin Attar said, when we took part in the groups of Khawaja Bahauddin Naqshband, we tried to hold on to remembering our aim from morning to night. Nevertheless, among all the companions, there were very few who were capable of holding on for one day until nightfall. I like to give the example is that if I say, you know, hold your hands like this, I'm going to pour water in your hand. Hold this, make a cup of water. What's going to happen within a few seconds is all you're going to have is a wet hand. You're not going to have a cup of water anymore. And so we have to again fill the cup, go over and over again. Because it dissipates. It dissipates. When you hear this, or these kind of words from our shuyukh, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Quran, does it inspire you? Does it give you an excuse to remain distant from yourself or to come to know yourself? Love alone really is the key to inspiration and freedom, effort and progress, studentship. It is an effort that's going to make the difference. It's going to make the reality of an understanding of what the reality of life is. There's no way without putting our spiritual life first and working at it that we can escape the fear of change and the anxiety that we all experience in life. There's no way without doing this that we can get beyond the negative and destructive history that fashions part of our character and life circumstances, or our lack of self-esteem and self-confidence, or its reciprocal arrogance. Fear and arrogance are the same, a lack of ability to be secure in one's own self. I don't think that there's anyone in this room who doesn't have a spark to ignite the fire of realization. Bi'ithni Allah. As we fan that small spark or large ember or glowing fire that's within all of us, we have to realize that that spark is the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it will grow in our hearts and it will consume our lives. And as we free ourselves from the fear and arrogance, we'll be more and more open to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who Allah tells us in Quran is our light. O Prophet, truly we have sent you as a witness, a bearer of glad tidings, and a warner. As one who invites to Allah by his leave and as a lamp spreading light. Many of you grew up with this imbued in your heart and soul. Many of you never questioned the light of Rasulullah. Many of you never even perhaps thought that anybody could question. But there are in the younger generation, here in the United States today, people didn't grow up in Pakistan or in India or in a Muslim country. They grew up in your home, and in your home you have your cultural nuances, and you have your own mizaj, and you have your different ways of looking at things. And there are many of us who embraced Islam 30, 40 years ago. We've had to come to understand that in the world we're living in today, some of us who had to learn this way can make a contribution to those who are now another generation in this country and have some cultural confusion and some lack of understanding. Love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the light that really does answer what is hidden in the corners of our life and what is the pathway to follow. It's not just merely reading and doing. It's absorbing and giving yourself to it so that you can ask the right questions and hear the answers back from the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma ya nura samawati wa ardi, sallallahu wa khalaqtukum min nurika, or feeli zanbi wa nawr qalbi wa anwari marifatika wa bi marifatihi bika wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallim. O Allah, the light of the heavens and the earth, bestow blessings and peace on the one you created from your light, and forgive my sins, and fulfill my heart with the light of your knowledge and the knowledge that is with you, and bestow blessings and peace as well on his family and his companions. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.